forever.
Dating and love, seek treatment. If you're boring as fuck, seek treatment. If you're unlucky in love, seek treatment. If you just can't take a hint, well, seek treatment. With Kat and Pat.
Hey is for horses and not just horses, podcast hosts.
It's Kat.
And Pat.
Thanks for cueing me to say my name. And welcome to Seek Treatment, a podcast about boys, sex, fucking dating, and love.
Even love.
I think I'm dying. That's what's happening.
Wait, why do you feel like you're dying?
Here's why I feel like I'm dying. I mentioned last time on the pod that my hips were hurting. I went to get an x-ray because I was in so much pain. And I guess I've found out I have FAI hip impingement.
FAO
I have FAO Schwartz hips.
She's plastic.
They're made
hips,
of those
Barbie.
Drill doves in Home Alone.
Wait, what?
Basically, my hip bones are like fucked up just because of how I'm born, and the bone is like scraping against the joint.
Do you think it's your mom's fault?
Yeah.
She didn't do yoga during your pregnancy.
The doctor was like, does your mom have this? I was like, I don't know if my mom
has
FAO Schwartz
hips. Did your mom do prenatal yoga?
I can't hear you because of this.
I know.
We need to be honest with our listeners. Like, our audio isn't working, so we can't really hear each other.
We can't hear each other. This feels like a normal conversation, except you can't
see
the
person. And that's dangerous because there's things I'm going to say that I shouldn't say.
I know.
The point is, I found out I have this disorder, I guess, and that's causing hip pain. But then I feel like that's not just it, because then I woke up in the middle of the night and my hips and my, like, both sides were just, like, radiating pain.
Yeah.
I hope it's just like a muscle tightness or like a tendonitis thing, because I've had tendonitis in my feet and knees before, but I just feel like my whole body's breaking, and now like my arm hurts, and I just like I'm in this place where I like, if I Google anything, it tells me I'm absolutely dying.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm dying. My body's weak. I drink. I was like, every day I'm like, oh, I'm not going to drink. And then it's like, I go to an event where someone's just like, hands me free drinks. And then it's just like.
But just because it's there doesn't mean you never have to drink is an important thing to remember.
I know, but the sad thing is, I've been in such a bad mood and so bored that I'm like, I know it will be more fun if I drink.
Yeah, but you still don't have to.
Sure. That's an interesting take.
And maybe it won't be more fun. Maybe you just think it will be more fun.
I think this week is kind of a wash and we'll just start fresh. Can't beat myself up.
Maybe it's an illusion that it's fun. That's what I found.
I think definitely. And I think I was so, when I was at the Fringe not drinking for like 3 weeks, I was like truly, I mean, other things were difficult, but I felt so focused and energized and like sad about other, not like, it was a different kind of sadness.
A summertime sadness.
Yeah. Ooh. I just really miss it. I miss being like, I think it's just really hard coming off the Fringe. Like, I was so focused, so dedicated. I had such a clear purpose, and I was really, even though it was really hard, I was really, really happy. And so now I'm just kind of finding my footing and wanting to like keep that momentum and not fall back into like life before. So I think I decided I'm going to LA in 2 weeks.
You are going to do that.
Yeah.
Well, you know
what?
We'll talk after.
I'm just going for three, four days to like sit in an office.
Should I come?
That sound.
You didn't even hear it because you don't have headphones. And that's the truth of the matter. Wait.
Just like depressed. I just like,
I
don't get the purpose of life.
Absolutely infuriating on my way here.
Wait, can I tell you something else about my life? Because I'm happy to see you and I really needed to see you.
Absolutely.
I find that during the day I don't see you enough.
Yeah.
You text me, so I call you and you don't answer.
You know, it's my pet peeve when you text and someone calls. It's like.
Really?
It's like, okay, if we now we're on the phone and you did this to us. Like,
wow, but you like being on the phone with me.
I do like being on the phone with you, but I don't like being on the phone, period. It's such a trick being on the phone. It's like you're always starting sentences and then like someone else is also starting it, and then you have to figure out who's gonna finish it, and you're always fake laughing on the phone. Always. Not with us, but always when you're, it's really hard to feel earnest joy on the phone, on the telephone.
Not with us, but yeah.
Yeah, that's the one flaw with Alexander Graham
Bell's invention.
Iconic invention of the telephone.
Which has sort of been reimagined as a computer.
But the last thing
I'll say is that yesterday I was pissed off about my hips and kind of just feeling listless, and I was on my way to an audition and I was wearing an amazing outfit and it was beautiful weather and I was like, you know what? And then I put on this great Belle and Sebastian song. It's a great time of year for Belle and Sebastian. And I was like, you know what? You cannot be in a bad mood when you put this song on. And as soon as I said that, I was like, what is that? And I looked down. I have stepped into the biggest pile of dog shit you've ever seen.
That almost happened to me recently.
And then I was scraping it on the sidewalk. And then, you know, I said, that's good luck. And I think I'm going to book the audition that I had.
That almost happened to me, but then it was a cookie.
A cookie?
Yeah, isn't that a fairy tale story? A modern day fairy tale. You step in dog shit,
but it's a cookie.
Chad Michael Murray. Chad Michael Murray and Hillary Dorf.
I talked for 45 minutes. Now
first of
turn.
All, we saw each other 2 days ago during the day.
When?
2 days ago when I kind of sat in at a stoop in Bushwick for 40 minutes waiting for you and B to arrive.
That was not 2 days ago.
That was 2 days ago.
That is the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
I know.
It's the wackiest shit you've ever told me.
Yeah.
I know you were mad at me because of
I that. Wasn't mad. I was just obviously annoyed as anyone would I be. Guess human or animal.
Know
human or animal would be annoyed.
Human or android.
Human or android.
Make it modern. Make it modern. Android.
Yeah. Android is a modern take on animals.
You know what the thing is, Patrick? Yeah. Owen Regan is that... It was miscommunication. I thought maybe you were gonna like stop by during the afternoon. I didn't know you took 1 p.m. as like the meeting time.
Well, because you told me 1 p.m. You said come at 1 p.m.
Okay.
So I took it that way.
Yeah, I kind of forget that in this relationship, you're actually the prompt one. I'm actually the
I'm not always prompt. I was a couple minutes late today.
When I walked in, you weren't here. I was truly floored.
Yeah, but in a good way, right?
Yeah, I felt relief. Like, yeah. Oh, it's not. Oh God, I feel so guilty.
Totally. When someone else is late, it's the best thing. Well, you know what I said earlier. I'm not a corduroy queen, but because they caused me trauma in my past.
But I just mean the fit.
Yeah.
Because the woman at Anthro was like, these stretch, I want to get a smaller size. And then when I put the smaller size on, didn't try them on because I was lazy. When I put the smaller size on, I was like, they're definitely tight pants.
Yeah.
And I want to be honest about that. But I think that's sensual. I think...
Well, corduroys are really confusing for me because I used to wear them a lot and I didn't know any better. And then everyone told me, stop doing that. Like, everyone in my life...
I love corduroys.
On a boy, it can be weird.
No, you know what? But there
is... On a boy with my body, it could be weird.
There's a boy who wronged me and he wore corduroys every day.
Yeah.
In the summer, even.
Well, corduroys is definitely your type, but it's also, like, the way I was wearing them didn't work.
You know what? I the funniest thing happened to me yesterday that I tweeted about it, but I want to talk about it with you on the podcast that we have together.
wait, let's do that now.
Sure. I was on Rent the Runway trying to figure out what items I was going to rent. And I saw, so on the app, people can like review the items. Like, I love this dress. It fit kind of tight in the hips, but like it was really cute or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I look at this dress. It's just like a long blue dress. The review says, I wore this to a graveside memorial and it was perfect.
Oh my God, I love that.
I'm just like, what the fuck?
What the fuck is
going on? Imagine renting the runway for a graveside memorial and then feeling the need to post about it so that a dumb alt comedian from Slutsville, USA can talk about it on her American podcast. on her strictly American podcast with some European guests.
With some European guests and even European listeners. And when we say European, that includes Australia.
European is a huge part of my life.
For Australia to be its own continent is so, like...
gauche.
Dramatic. Attention-seeky.
It's like you had to break off and do your own thing. Just, like, be part of the group. Like, go with the group.
Yeah, no other country is really kind of demanding to be its own continent. You won't find it. We're close.
I never
We're
remember...
close when we pulled in our trio. Canada, Mexico. Our trio, North America.
I never think about North America and how it's one.
Yeah, it is one.
Canada and Mexico is just sort of part of us.
Epic trio, yeah.
Great, Holy Triumvirate.
Iconic trio, the Holy Triumvirate.
Holy Trinity?
I saw something that absolutely infuriated me on my way here.
Tell us.
It was a Subway advertisement for a show. The show is called something like Carol's Second Chance or something.
Yeah, Sabrina Jalisse is on that.
Oh, is it? I love Sabrina Jalisse, even though she famously called me Pat Riggs. She was like, I love Last Couch Reasons and Seek Treatment. Matt Rogers, Bone Yang, Kevin Cohen, and Pat. 30-minute pause. Reeks? People screaming at her from off cam.
Oh, that video was so funny.
What's
the ad say?
Oh, so the ad is Patricia Heaton sitting on a
Band-Aid.
Not a Band-Aid. A Band-Aid might have even been better. It's just such a... It's such a poster. It infuriates me. It's like a dystopian. Like, this is what posters have become. It's like...
What is it?
One of those, like... You know when you're in the hospital? I've never been in the hospital, but,
Gurney
like...
Vibes?
You know when you're watching Grey's?
Yeah.
And it's, like the stats. Like, the...
Uh-huh.
Like, the bumps, the line.
Yeah,
with,
the
like, spikes and beep beep whoopies. And then they're like, for flatlining. It's like... the person's not flatlining. There's bumps, 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 and there's a line. Patricia Heaton sitting... cross-legged mm-hmm. on the line.
The flat part. Are there beeps and boops around her?
Yeah.
Cool.
And it's already like such an eye roll. Like, okay, she's sitting on, like, I also used to work in promo, and I've been in those brainstorms
He's
where you're
been
like
in those meetings
where you're like, what should it be for the print? And it's like, oh, well, okay, hospitals, what's that make you think of? Okay, like those things that when you're watching Grace.
If it's her second act movie, she's like reviving, like her old life is dead. Right. She's sort of sitting on that, she's like, I'm gonna squash this.
And then people would always bring out this. Like printouts of random shit. They're like, I just Google image like health and I found this, and it's like a picture of like a woman who has nothing to do with health, and it's like, isn't this, can we pull from this, can we reference
no
this?
If someone prints something that isn't just text, if someone prints an image in 2019, it's like,
I'll never forget one of the creative directors at the space I used to work, whose name was Angie, and she terrified me, but she was nice. She was nice in an absolutely terrifying way, and she was always trying to give you skills to like have an amazing career in promo producing.
That's sweet.
And I was like, leave me alone, I'm trying to be on Facebook.com.
The way that you're being, it's like you're gonna put your, it's like, I can't relax because it seems like you're gonna put your headphones on, but I'm, I know,
not,
you aren't.
No, I'm making them kiss.
Do you mind that I have my shirt off?
Wait,
again?
Oh, so I didn't get to the most infuriating part of Carol's second act, the subway poster, is that
what is that even?
It was whoever was directing the shoot. Like, the face Patricia was making was so psychotic. It was like, it felt like a candid almost, but a candid right before like a planned picture. Like, yeah. She hadn't smiled yet or something. Mm. Like, it was the weirdest facial expression. And I was like, this is what they went with?
Yeah, it's what they went with.
I just like made me
so upset. I look
forward
to seeing that on Subway. It's about training.
Yeah, it's definitely the G, the Nassau Avenue G train.
I'm not gonna be, you know what? I'm not going to be there. Yeah. Do you know what happened to me last night?
What?
So fun. I ran into my friends.
We've been doing this for 18 minutes, but yet only 7 minutes
have
passed.
Wait, I know, sad.
Okay, cool.
Oh, whoa. Okay, Megan. Actually, I believed with that. I would have believed that. I was like, 7 minutes.
We have no concept of time. 7 minutes in heaven.
I have such exhaustion lately that that's why I also think I have some sort of degenerative disorder where I'm dying.
Oh, yeah. I've been really tired, too.
Yeah, I've been having the thing where I wake up and, like, you know when you wake up and you're so heavy, you're like, wow, I'm really still tired?
Yeah.
That's what I've been having.
I've been getting that feeling at 3 p.m. Classic.
That's American. That's siesta.
There was a year in history where every single sketch written was a parody sketch of 5 Hour Energy,
yes,
where they were
Five
crack.
Hour Energy for
they
actresses.
Were like cokes, yeah.
What I was gonna say was I ran into my friends on the L train last night, which is so fun. I ran into friends on the train.
Yeah, who?
Merrick and Chris Murphy.
Oh, cool.
And Jack.
Jack?
Preto.
Never met him.
It's like Merrick's BFF.
Okay. Is he?
I don't know if he wants his name on the pod, so just bleep
it. No, put it in.
Okay, put him in.
Is he hot?
He is hot, and he was wearing the most amazing coat that I'm going to actually buy.
Was it fur?
Mm-mm. Trench.
I don't like a trench coat.
Why, Patrick?
I don't know. Trench coat mafia, remember?
No.
You don't remember the trench coat mafia?
No.
Oh, my God.
Remember What's Up?
The trench coat mafia was... Maybe we shouldn't even. No, I remember it was up, but I was in the middle of a sentence about the trench coat mafia, which is a part of our nation's history. It was like a cult in high schools where people would wear trench coats, but I think the Columbine people were in it.
Oh, fuck. I didn't know where we were going.
I didn't mean to go there.
Oh,
okay. For our guest to be here.
You know what? I have warmth surrounding our guest because last time we saw her, we had such an amazing meal that I like still think about that meal.
That was such a good meal. We have to go back.
And we do because we were both experiencing something where we were so hungry that like.
Yeah. Oh my God, I was so hungry that day.
I was so,
and we tried
so
to go to
Calexico,
but it was too long.
They wouldn't. Shout out to Calexico. I love your mushroom quesadilla. You wouldn't let me into your restaurant because it was too crowded months ago, and I'll never forget that. And we had that thing. We had that thing with them. We saw her restaurant where it was like, you know when you're starving, and I know you don't do this anymore, but when you get a beer while you wait, and it's like one sip, and you're like, it's just everything, and then you fill yourself with meat.
Totally. It was the perfect burger and fries joint.
It was. It was like we'd gone skiing.
That place was a slice of Americana.
When I think of how hungry I am, I think, does it feel like I've been skiing or not? And if it feels like I've been skiing, that means I'm really hungry.
Wow, yeah, skiing makes
me
really hungry.
That's just like my motto.
All of skiing makes me so hungry, and all of skiing, I can't. I'm like literally counting the runs until it's like a reasonable thing to be like, let's go inside.
I know, I think about skiing is like you just keep doing it, and you're like, are we just gonna go up again?
And then it's like, okay, I go up the hill, and then it's like, oh, I'm gonna do a black diamond, but then it's like, okay, this is hard. I hope I get to the bottom soon. Then you're at the bottom, and it's like, okay, now I'm gonna do that again. I've just been hoping it was over the whole time.
No, the thing is, once you finish one run, you're like, oh, good, I'm still alive, and then you have to like, go. Put your chips up in the air again.
Yeah.
Chips up in the air.
Cash out.
Why do I have like just pain in my body?
And also when I was little, I used to always pee my pants when I was skiing. Not even that little.
22 is little. Hilarious joke.
It literally is.
She's like, when I make like a joke.
Wait, do you know what? When you say that, do you know what joke I'm thinking of? From a piece of content we both hate.
No.
Okay, we watched it together at your apartment.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
That's the worst thing.
That was actually...
I actually felt really
traumatized by that. Like, I was trying to grab you in a way that communicated my pain, but I couldn't.
We hate watched content recently. Also, I actually found a piece of content even worse than that, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I watched it with Ange last night. No, because there's no way you would, I don't think, but it's not as infuriating because it's not as, like...
Yeah.
Successful of a platform, but it's still like infuriating that it even got made, and it's shot really nice, so you know $1 million is spent on it.
You know what I'm addicted to?
Oh, I know. Yeah. We can't talk about that though.
Okay. How are you otherwise? We haven't really talked about you.
I know. How am I? I had some gastrointestinal stuff going on yesterday.
What's happening with
us? I'm having Pure for Men. I'm doing Pure for Men.
Oh my god. Our guest looks fucking gorgeous.
A classic look for our guest is
I feel so safe around our guests, and like I know, like sometimes when I know who the guest is, I'm like,
guest
I'm not
is
ready
wearing
for this.
A tote. She's wearing a tote over her head. Just
our
kidding.
Guest is smaller than a tote.
She's holding a tote, and it's from her old place of work. As if to virtue signal, no, yes, I'm still a part of the family.
Virtue signal. Fun.
I know. Wait, so...
Yeah, you were talking about how you are
gastrointestinal. I'm thinking Pure for Men, because it's supposed to help you not have to enema that much, or douche, and, I'm like, is it working? I texted my dear friend, Joel Kimbooster, because I know he's kind of the face of that company, and I said, does it really work? And he's like, it works amazing for me. I think it's
It works
working.
Amazing for him.
It works. I think it works amazing, but Pure for Men, reach out, and if you pay me, I will say it does work amazing, actually.
I want to go on the record as saying, like, we want more free stuff.
Wait, yeah.
I'm getting us free Red Bull.
I know, I love that. Someone said, I get plenty of Red Bull sent to me to share with friends.
And I said, patches and drinks, so we love Red Bull.
Totally, I do love Red Bull. I actually had
three,
some this morning.
Three vodkas in, I'm like, we love Red Bull.
I had some this morning because I was journaling. You know what's the worst is when you wake up and you want to journal right in the morning, but you don't have caffeine yet. And it's like, oh, I guess we're doing this.
I was so lazy the other day the day I saw you for our photos.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't bear to get coffee until, I couldn't leave my apartment until like 3.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm not funny today.
You are. You are. I'm really excited because I finished another draft of my thing I've been working on, and it's been such a struggle to...
I'm really proud of you.
I've never done a second draft of
You know what's
before.
So psycho is that I also had a deadline that I sent in something on Monday, and as soon as Monday was over, then it was just like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, complete wash.
That's how... I think that once you like meet a big thing that you're working on, it's okay to take a day.
Yeah, one day.
One day, yeah.
Three is excessive.
No, you are against the law right now.
I'm against the law. What are you doing?
I don't know.
You're acting out.
Well, no, it's because I'm feeling anxiety over not wearing headphones.
I know. I feel really fucking crazy. As
insane as it sounds, isn't going to make any sense. Because I'm not wearing headphones, I don't know what to do with my hands.
That makes sense.
Cool.
What are you doing this weekend?
I'm doing shows this weekend. One of them with you.
Can't wait.
One of them with Al.
What's the other one?
Get Real. I'm actually really excited about the scene I took. To shows for it.
Can you tell us what it is?
Yeah, it's from... So the theme is like school. Schools. So I chose the scene.
School's out for the summer.
I chose the famous scene from She's All That at the party where...
Which what?
She's All... See, it's like you asked me and then I started answering and then you said saying school's out for the summer and now you're asking me to repeat. So I'm just saying what happened. I'm just saying what happened so we can diagnose the health of our kind of rapport. So the scene that I'm doing is the famous scene for me. It's famous in my life, but now you're mad. Now you're not talking to me. Catherine's pointing to her ear, intently listening. It's a famous scene from my favorite character of literature, which is Taylor Vaughn from She's All That, the mean girl, bitch, popular girl. And it's when they're at the party, and it's right after Lainey Boggs, where Julie Cook gets her famous makeover. And, Zach, played by Freddie Prinze Jr., brings her to a party, and Taylor Vaughn sees her there, and Taylor Vaughn's boyfriend, Matthew Lillard, who is the Brock in the movie, who is on The Real World, is dancing obnoxiously, and Taylor gets annoyed, and then she spots Lainey Boggs there, and she walks over and grabs her arm, like, psychotic. Every teenage, moderately attractive girl in a 90s film is sociopathic, hypersexual, like literally psychotic, a murderer, and like truly like kills animals in their sleep. Like, she grabs Lainey Boggs by the arm and goes, "What are you doing here?" And she's like, "I was invited." And then Taylor Vaughn goes, "Something." So she goes, "Isn't your dad my pool man?" And he is. And Rachel Lee Cook goes, "I wouldn't know." And then, psychotic, oddically, Taylor Vaughn.
No.
Taylor Vaughn takes her, hot girl, takes her wine, opens like Rachel Lee Cook's thing, pours her wine down her boobs and goes, oh, oops, you really should be more careful with silk. And then Lainey Boggs looks devastated. Everyone stops and look and is looking, and she goes, 10-minute pause, thank you. And Taylor Vaughn goes, thank you. And she goes, for reminding me. For reminding me why I avoid places like this and people like you. And Taylor Vaughn goes, you avoid us? Take a look around, honey. To everyone here who matters, you're vapor, you're spam, a waste of perfectly good yearbook space.
Oh my God.
And then she goes, oh my God, are you going to cry? And then Rachel Lee Cook goes, and runs out, runs up the stairs. She waddles up the stairs. Freddie Prinze Jr. chases. And then she goes, I always swore I would never let them see me cry. So literally, yeah, so literally I'm going to do that scene. But I don't know what I'm going to say because the actual
it's stuff better than anything you can make.
Gold, actually.
Your vapor is an amazing line.
Yeah.
Your vapor.
A waste of perfectly good yearbook space.
You know what you reminded me of?
What?
First of all, our Halloween costumes.
Oh, yes.
Slutty. I'm going as Slutty Shiv.
And I'm going as Slutty Jerry from Succession.
Because
we were in a Succession space.
Oh, I forgot that I saw you. Like, that feels like years ago.
I know. Well, it felt like it took years to do.
We did a very fun event for Vulture that was chic and modern. You know what's funny? Last night I was at this concert. Oh, my God. I want to shout out Adult Mom, the band whose concert I went to last night. They're a fan of the pod. They're going to come on the pod. And I was at their show last night. It was at Baby's All Right. It was so fucking good. And I was with my friend Cam Spence.
I love her. I haven't seen her. She's still in the United States of America. Today. Fuck.
I love her. I love that girl. That was crazy. And it was so funny. I wish I had her on
while she was in the United States of America.
She's coming back. We'll get her on. But it was so funny. I went to the bathroom. And then when I get back, she's at the bar trying to get the bartender to charge her phone, and the girl behind the bar was like, if I charge one phone, I have to charge a million phones.
Oh, fuck her.
But then it was so funny. So Cam's like arguing with her. She's like, please, I should get up to 5% so I can get on the train.
I won't
like,
tell
please,
anyone. Yeah.
Please. And then Cam's like, what's that smell? And I guess her hair had almost gotten the candle. And I turned to her and I'm like, what's going on? And she goes, she won't charge my phone. And my hair's been on fire.
Oh my God.
And my hair's been on fire.
My hair's been on fire.
I will laugh about that until I die.
Oh my God.
It was so calm. And my hair's been on fire.
Anyways,
we'll have to have her on the pod. We'll have Adult Mom on the pod.
Yeah.
We will never, ever have the bartender who wouldn't charge Cam's phone.
No, ever. You know
who
I'm picturing? Sloane from
Entourage.
Entourage. That's who I'm picturing as the bartender. But you know why? Because she was a bartender in Waiting, the Ryan Reynolds film.
Never saw Waiting, but this girl was more hipster than Sloane. It was
tattoo-y. Totally. Sloane would never make it in.
She was gorgeous.
Baby's All Right culture.
I understand she's just doing her job, but at the same time, it's like from girl to girl, give me 5%.
Yeah, it's woman to woman. As a woman, as a woman. As a woman, can you charge my phone for me?
You should have been there and say, excuse me, say as a woman as in a her woman. Earpiece. As a woman.
Woman to woman. Mother to mother.
Father to daughter, father to daughter. Name that song.
I have no idea.
Really? That was Lindsay Lohan's track.
Oh, yeah.
Father to
I do
daughter.
Know that.
Is that the end of our first seg?
We have a little more time. But okay, I just want to say, remember the song, Scotty Doesn't Know, Scotty Doesn't Know.
Oh, my God. That
know.
Song used to make me so horny.
My new thing is
why would that song make me horny?
My new thing is
why does that song make me horny?
My new thing is singing
Scotty
that song.
Scotty Doesn't Know.
My new thing is singing that song to the tune of the song called Blink 182. It's like, Scotty Doesn't Know, Scotty Doesn't Know, Scotty Doesn't Know,
oh, yeah.
Scotty Doesn't Know, Scotty Doesn't Know.
Which Blink 182 song is that?
It's like, Say It Ain't So.
No, I will not go. Scotty doesn't know.
Scotty doesn't know.
Why is
what
that
doesn't
your
Scotty
new thing?
Know? And why? What doesn't? It just became my
that
thing this
Scotty
morning.
Scotty doesn't know that like I'm fucking his girlfriend. Isn't that the premise? It's like that Fiona and me.
Oh yeah, yeah.
In my car every Sunday. She tells him she's in church, but
that
she
was
doesn't
like the whole,
go.
Like that was that. That
I
was,
love that genre.
2001 was genre of like these punk
I
songs.
I love that genre.
I love that genre. The 2001 was the era of the songs that were like supposed to be kind of funny. Like that was sort of
it's
Stacey's mom.
Yeah.
It's like Blink-182. It's like
Bowling for Soup, Fountains of Warrior.
So Blink-182 had a song that was like, would be nice. To get a blowjob, it would be nice. To get a blowjob, it would be nice. To get a blowjob, it would be nice. To get a blowjob from your mom. That was the whole track.
A lot about mom fucking.
I know.
I've never fucked someone's mom.
Wait, there was just something about fucking moms.
And I've never even fucked anyone's dad.
Oh, in It Chapter 2, it's like that's their main form of humor, saying they're going to fuck each other's moms.
Do you know there is this guy? I went on a Tinder date with him, I would say, over one calendar year ago. and we never slept together. We just like went on a date and like I think he fingered me in a bar. No one knows who said that, not me. And last night texts me. I'm like, no, honey. No.
Cut your fingers off. It's not gonna happen.
Honey, it's that was years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So shout out to that.
Shout out to him. Wish him the best. Oh my gosh. All right, so should we bring in we have no idea how much time it is because Meg kind of chose not to give an accurate time today. And don't cut that.
How do I seem?
Amazing. For some reason your hair is giving me lioness.
Well, my hair is straighter than usual and it's not working for me.
Do you know what quote I kept saying yesterday? You deliberately disobeyed me. And what's worse, you put Nala in danger.
Nala?
From Lion King?
Yeah.
My brother thought that quote was so funny because it was saying it was worse to put Nala in danger than Simba. We're like, okay, like, Mufasa doesn't care about Simba. It's after they go to the elephant graveyard and he's like, Simba, you deliberately disobeyed me. And what's worse, you put Nala in danger. We used to always say that.
Scientists will study your brain.
You deliberately disobeyed me. And what's worse, you put Nala in danger.
You know what I have to say about my x-ray experience is that the doctor was really hot and it was annoying because then when he like told me what was happening, I wasn't really listening. I was just like, trying to like make him laugh. And then I was like, I don't have time for this. And he like put his hand on my knee and was like, no one does.
He put his hand on your knee?
Well, he would have been like looking at my leg.
Get your coat. We're going to the PlayStation. Because Stop he had it. No right to use his medical degree
Stop
to
it.
Put his hand on your leg.
I liked it.
Okay.
Is this problematic? Should we cut that?
No, that's fine.
Okay, whatever.
Okay, wait. It's ultimately your call.
You know what's the saddest thing? And this is the last thing I'll say in my entire life. The saddest thing is that in as short as like 3 months from now, we'll listen to an episode of this and think we are so unfunny. We're so fucking stupid. And why do we ever think we had something to say?
But then, yeah. Totally.
So, and this that's is the time
in conclusion and in summary. So without further ado,
put your ears open for our guest, Betsy Kenny.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.